Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's open our Bible to Nehemiah. We are in Nehemiah chapter 6. And we talked a little bit last week. I want to continue with this thought about leading through positive values. We talked about the value of prayer, the value of purpose. Man, you can't get out of Genesis 1 without seeing purpose, purpose, purpose. The value of vision, the value of people, the value of diligence, the value of giving. And here we're going to see in Nehemiah 6 the value of focus and the value of completion. Nehemiah 6, verse 15 says, the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month in 52 days. You know what values do? Values keep us on track during the process of fulfilling His purpose. You know what? Fulfilling God's purpose is a process. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But when you keep walking with God, good things happen. Amen? So let's look at this. And really, Nehemiah was facing some adversaries. Everybody say adversaries. Do you know what? Adversaries could be evidence that you're on track with God. Nehemiah 6, verse 1. Let's read through verse 4. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I built a wall. There was no breach therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors on the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent to me four times after this sort, and I answered them in the same way. Did you know what? Nehemiah was walking in the purpose and the plan of God. But there were lots of enemies, right? Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies. He wasn't finished yet. Don't stop till you are finished. I think one of the greatest time wasters is meetings. I had a neighbor who was an engineer, and he went to a church, and he wanted to go do something there, but they had to have meetings about it. He said, I'll tell you what, they had so many meetings, I gave up, went and took my wallet, went down to the store, bought the stuff, and did it. There are some meetings that are good, but some meetings can be a waste of space, waste of time. So I don't like meetings that waste time. I like meetings for a purpose. But don't go have a meeting with your enemy, because the enemy was trying to pull them away from the work. You know what? Satan wants to get you distracted. Don't get distracted. If he can't get you bad, he wants to get you distracted, okay? Don't stop till you're complete. He said, I'm doing a great work. I can't come. We need to know the value of what we're doing. You know, someone came the other day. You need to do this. I am doing this and this and this, and I'm not going to do that. I know the value of what I'm doing. I know it's working. Maybe you don't know, but I know. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to go do all this stuff that God didn't tell me to do. Hallelujah. And so I said, no, we're not going to do that. That's just going to cause a lot of mess. Sometimes people don't know. Hallelujah. But he said, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. He knew the value of what he was doing. His enemies didn't do this once. They did it four times. They said Kenneth E. Hagin, Papa Hagin, never would say anything bad about anybody. They say, well, what would you say about the devil? He said, he sure is a persistent cuss. You know, Jesus rebuked him, hit him with the word three times. Bam, bam, bam. He left. He said, I'll come back at a more convenient season. Hallelujah. But you know what you do when the devil keeps it? Just keep hitting him with the word. Amen. Amen. Just keep hitting him with the word. Keep hitting him. He'll go somewhere else. Praise the Lord. They told a story about Lester Sumrall and Smith Wigglesworth. and they were traveling. And one morning, I woke up, and the devil was at the end of the bed. And he had moved the bed across the room. He said, "Devil, put it back!" The bed went, boom! Smith Wigglesworth woke up one day, and the devil was down there. He said, "Oh, it's just you." Went back to sleep. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't give him too much airtime. Don't get distracted by your enemies. Keep doing what God called you to do. Now, when we read the next few verses, notice this in verse 5 through verse 9. "Then sent Sanballat his servant to me in the like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, 'It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu says it, that you and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause you build the wall that you might be their king according to these words. And you have also appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah, and now it will be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together.'" You know what? He came with this letter, with this false accusation. Did you know what? There is a lot of false accusation. We've had it happen here. False accusations. Accusations that have nothing to do with the truth whatsoever. Do you know this is a sign of the times in which we live? False accusers, the Bible says. We can turn. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We can look at this. Verse 1 through verse 5. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers." They don't keep their word. False accusers, false accusation is a time, is a sign of the time in which we live. Incontinent, having no control over fleshly desires and appetites. Fierce, despisers of those who are good, tradie, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of these sort are they who creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. We see this stuff happening. Do you know what? False accusation. Spreading it around. You know what the devil's called? He is called the accuser of the brethren. I have a person very close to me. And you know, they kept bringing up stuff. Bringing up. So I said, "I told you, if you're going to talk about this, then we're not going to talk." And I cut him completely off. And they decided they would straighten up. I said, when I talked to him, I said, "You know, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. You're dragging up junk. Dragging up junk from over 40 years ago. It's not even true. It's a lie, and I don't want to hear it. You're doing the devil's business. And if you do the devil's business, I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to pay attention. You're not going to get my time." So they decided they'd be nice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Accuser of the brethren. That is the devil's business. Did you know this is what they were doing? They were coming here with an open letter saying all this stuff. Why? Because they were trying to spread around a rumor, spread around a lie, and there wasn't even any truth in it whatsoever. Let me show you a little thing. This used to be David Hardesty. David Hardesty was one of my best friends. He was a mentor to me. He was the chief operating officer for a period of time at Andrew Womack Ministries. And David loved these scriptures. You know, when I see people get in trouble, Christians especially, I see them follow this path. I heard David quote this many times. But turn over here to Proverbs 6. Just look at this. This is a path you don't want to be on. He says, "These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." I don't want to be in this list, do you? The Lord hates it. The Lord hates these things. He says seven are abomination: a proud look, arrogance, a lying tongue. A lying tongue, spreading around lies. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'm telling you, in this woke, crazy world we live in, there are people that think they can say anything, accuse anybody of anything, and get by with it. It is crazy. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Did you know the word imagination is only used one time positively in the scripture? I'm telling you, some people have imaginations that are being used by the devil. I don't want to be in that crowd. I don't want to let the devil use my imagination and be thinking up stuff that's not even true. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. Being false, just lying. You know, somebody came and brought an accusation the other day. We checked it out. They don't know. We got text evidence. We got video evidence. We got audio evidence that they're lying. And they think they could just bamfoozle everybody. A false witness that speaks lies. Now get the last one. And he that sows discord among the brethren. God hates those who sow discord among the brethren. I don't want to do it. I don't want to sow discord. I don't want to fight God's people. I don't want to fight the Jewish people. And I don't want to fight believing people. I don't want to fight them at all. Praise God. I don't want to be in these six things the Lord hates. And the seventh one is an abomination. So here they come. They're carrying their letter. They've got it open. All it is a bunch of lies. Now, listen to how Nehemiah responds to him. He says, then I sent unto him in verse 8, there are no such things done as you say, but you feign them out of your own heart. This is a wicked imagination. This is an abomination. Read what God said there in Proverbs. It's terrible. Okay? So he just called it like it was. He said it how it is. And he says, for they made us afraid. Look at this. Saying their hands will be weakened from the work that it not be done. People just trying to keep you off track, trying to get you doing something, get you distracted, get you misdirected, get you in fear, keep you from doing what God wants you to do. This is the enemy's tactics. Do not go have a meeting with your enemy. Call it what it is. This is false imaginations. The enemy's tactics to get you in fear. You know why the devil wants to get you in fear? Fear will paralyze you and keep you out of what God has for you. I'm telling you, there is so much fear that is spread in the name of God. There is so much fear that is spread in the name of being conservative. I bet I get 50 emails a day. You probably get some of them. I don't even know how they get my email. Delete, 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 delete. The bank's going broke. The bank's going broke. The bank's going broke. The stock market's going to crash. Blah, 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 blah. And while everybody buys into those lies, I just keep going forward. I just keep moving into what God has for me. We keep just... And you know who's the worst at buying it? The church. You know what the devil tried to do through COVID? He tried to shut the church down. You know who most... It's just crazy. Don't buy the devil's lies. Fear will paralyze you and keep you from accomplishing God's purposes. Barbara and I, the other day, she was getting a checkup from a medical doctor, and we were sitting here, we were visiting with this doctor, and I told him, hey, we were the last big church in Colorado Springs to close. We were the first big church in Colorado Springs to open. He said, I'm telling you, COVID did it. It was terrible for people, and it was terrible, and the results of it was terrible, all these things. We had two funerals here for people that didn't come here, but friends of people that come here. One for a 36-year-old man, one for a 50-year-old man that committed suicide. You know why? Because they needed people. And we saw other people that got locked off from society, and it did nothing but bring hurt. Right? They need people. It was terrible. Anyway, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and spirit of love. And a spirit of a sound mind. A spirit of a mind that is well instructed and corrected in the word of God. I've talked to some of these people that use fear. You know, a lot of people in the church, you know why they use fear? Because it sells. Roger Traver was a good friend of mine. He was an economist. Do you know, I was talking to him about this. He said, Pastor, he said, I could take books since 1971, and every year one is written, and you just put the cover on the next, but just tear the cover off one, put it on the other. It's the same book, right, with a different cover. Every year, it's the same lies, over and over and over and over and over again. And the church buys it. Do you know I bought into it early? Because, you know, I was a young man, right? 1980, 1981. Filled with the Holy Spirit in 1978, I heard, oh, that's all babbling. That's all going down. You better stay away from that. And, you know, pretty soon I figured out all these people preaching that, they're making like this much, and the people not preaching it, the world's making 10 or 20%, and the church is making 3%. This is wrong. So I said, you know, I'm on the wrong side of this issue. I'm going to get on the other side of the issue. And I'll tell you what, I take more risk than most people, and I make more. I lose some money once in a while, but I make more money than most people. All right, praise God. So, because I don't buy the fear. Don't buy the fear lie of the enemy. Praise God. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. Okay, let's go a little bit farther. So number one, don't get distracted. Number two, don't listen to the enemy's lies. They were spreading around lies. It was false imagination. It was trying to get them in fear to paralyze them and keep them from accomplishing God's purpose. Now let's read a little farther in verse 10 through verse 12. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Medabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to kill you. Yes, in the night, they'll come to kill you. And I said, should a man as I flee, and who is there being as I, would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. And I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he had pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Here's my next point. Don't go hide in a hole. You know, I got this investment guy. Now, he's much more conservative than me. Praise the Lord. And he inherited some of our accounts. And so I met with him. He said, I'll tell you one thing I like about you. You don't believe in going hiding in a hole. Praise God. No, I don't believe in hiding a hole. I don't believe that's scriptural. I don't believe God wants any of us to go hide in a hole. Praise the Lord. Keep moving forward in the plan and the purpose of God. See, this person tried to act spiritual. We're going to have a spiritual meeting in a spiritual place. But what was it? It was the enemy's tactic trying to get him to retreat. Don't retreat, advance. Hallelujah. Years ago, Andrew Womack said, they used to call Christian meetings retreat. He said, we're not going to call it a retreat. We're going to call it an advance. We're not retreating, we're advancing. Hallelujah. Don't retreat. Amen. Advance. All right. So they were dealing with what? Persecution and affliction. Let's look at some scriptures here. 1 Peter chapter 5. It talks about persecution and affliction. You know, the Bible says this. We'll read it in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But it says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus, this is a promise we don't put on our refrigerator, shall suffer persecution. Okay, you found 1 Peter chapter 5? Let's read verse 8 through verse 10. Be watchful. Be sober. Know where you're going and what you're doing. Be watchful. Be vigilant because your adversary, you've got an enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He makes a lot of noise. Whom resist? What happens when the devil comes? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you suffered a while. What suffering is he talking about? He's talking about suffering persecution and affliction for the gospel. Make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's begin reading 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. Paul's talking to Timothy, his son in the faith. You've fully known my doctrine. You knew what I believed. You knew my manner of life. What I believe caused me to live in a specific way. If your belief doesn't affect your life, maybe you really don't believe it. You've known my purpose. I'm living with purpose. Because I'm living with purpose, I'm living with faith. Long suffering, right? Love and patience. Persecutions and afflictions which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Have you read about Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? Acts 13, the end of Acts 13, the beginning of Acts 14. What happened at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? Paul was run out of town, right? Went to the next town. He was run out of town again. Went to the next town. He was run out of town. He was actually stoned and left for dead. Amen? The disciples gathered around him and raised him from the dead. You know what Paul did? He went right back where they just ran him out of town. He went right back where they just stoned him and left him for dead. And he preached Jesus to them. Boy, you talk about Paul. This man is tough. Hallelujah. He says, all these places, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. I'm glad God delivers us from persecution. God delivers us from affliction. God delivers us from the lies of the enemy. He says, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's the time we live in. Deceiving and being deceived. But what's he say? Continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. That from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Continue in the Word of God. Paul said, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Stick with the Word. Hallelujah. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, what we believe, for reproof. You know, if somebody needs to be reproved, you don't reprove them with a prophetic word. I don't know if any of you live very much in a Pentecostal church. Old Pentecostal churches. They were famous, right? For prophesying against people. Listen, if somebody needs rebuke, you don't rebuke them with a prophecy. Prophecies that exhort, edify, and comfort the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3. You know how you rebuke them? You take them and you get the word. And you say, you're saying this and the word says this. These two don't light up. We live by the word. Let the word be the judge. Amen? And he says, for correction. How many of you know sometimes we need corrected? How many of you? I need corrected sometime. For instruction in righteousness. How many of you need instruction in righteousness? That the person of God, the man of God, the person of God may be complete and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, don't go hide. You know, he said, let's go over here. Let's go out to this plane. Let's go have a, let's lock it up. Hold the fort, hold the fort. The devil's going to get you. I'm telling you who ought to be singing Hold the Fort. The devil ought to be singing Hold the Fort. We used to have these songs that we'd sing in the church. Hold the fort, hold the fort. Like we're holding the fort and the devil's trying to, no! The devil ought to be shaking when you get up. Amen. The devil ought to be, oh no, they're up again. What are they going to do to me today? Hallelujah. We keep going forward with God. We keep going forward doing what he told us to do. Okay? We keep moving into this. So they were trying to get him to retreat, but Nehemiah didn't have retreat in him. Praise God. He was keep moving forward. Let's look at this in verse 13 and verse 14. Look it. He says, I perceived in verse 12 again that God had not sent him, but he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore, he was hired that I would be afraid and do so and sin. Do you know the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin? Romans 14, verse 23. And that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah and the rest of the prophets, that it would have put me in fear. See, keep doing what God told you to do. Keep living by faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Fear leads to misdirection, leads to sin. That's the enemy's tactics. Faith-based decisions, not fear-based decisions. Amen? So we're living by faith. Everybody say, I live by faith. The just shall live by faith. See, faith is a lifestyle. So don't get distracted. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. And don't go hide in a hole. Don't go hide in. Keep moving forward in the plan and the purpose of God. Amen. Did you know what? Some people, we don't have to be afraid of all the evil. Let me turn to a scripture and give you another scripture that goes right along with this. John chapter 15. Turn with me to John 15. And let's look at John 17, verse 15. Listen, Jesus is praying, and he's praying here for his disciples. And he says, I'm praying that you would not take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. Did you know you're not going to get away from all the evil in the world? We live in a world that's been affected by sin and by Satan. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. So Jesus is praying for them. He's praying that they wouldn't be taken out of the world, but kept from the evil. Did you know what? When I raise my children, I never raise them to know all the evil that's in the world. I didn't try to explain to them all the things about sin that are wrong. I didn't try to explain to them, you know, how evil is wrong. I didn't try to tell them how rock and roll music was wrong and how dope was wrong. Do you know what I did? I taught them what's right. I taught them what's true. I didn't try to explain to them all the reasons that, for instance, evolution is wrong. I taught them the truth from the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. You know why? Because truth is stronger than a lie. I didn't teach them about all the hatred in the world. I taught them about the love of God. Why? Because love is greater than hatred. I didn't tell them about all the lies in the world and the darkness in the world. You know what? I taught them about the light of God. I taught them about the love of God. I taught them about the life of God. Why? Because the life of God is greater than the death in the world. The truth of God is greater than the lies in the world. Amen? The light of God is greater than the darkness in the world. And the love of God is greater than the hatred in the world. Some people just talk about all the evil in the world. No, we don't want to talk about all the evil in the world. Amen? One time I had a youth pastor and he's having an argument with me. And he was arguing because all he wanted to do is talk to the kids about getting married and pornography. And I said, no, I don't need you to talk to the kids about getting married and pornography. Is there a problem with pornography? Yes, there's a problem with pornography. And he would argue that there's a problem with pornography. Well, there's a sin problem in the world. I said, no, this is what I want you to teach them. I want you to teach them who they are in Christ. And while he was having this argument with me, I had a missionary come in, and he was listening to us a little bit, and he said, here's the answer. Philemon verse 6, the communication of your faith becomes effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. Do you know what got me set free as a young man? It wasn't knowing all the evil that's in the world. It wasn't knowing all the sin that's in the world. I grew up in a church that talked about get saved, don't sin, repent, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, repent, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, repent, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, repent, 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 don't sin. And you know what we did? We got saved and we went and sinned and we went and repented and went and sinned and went. But then I found out who I was in Christ. And when I found out that I was the righteousness of God in Christ, when I found out that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, when I found out that I was sanctified by the blood of Jesus, when I found out these things, did you know what I did? I walked out of the darkness and I walked into the light. I left this old world and I got a hold of something that's greater. I found out that God had something greater for my life. If you'll get involved in the purpose and the plan of God, if you've ever see for a moment how much God loves you and how victorious Jesus is and how awesome the plan of God is for your life and how defeated the devil is, you'll be done serving the devil. I was done with the devil, and I walked right out of that junk and right into the good things of God. Hallelujah. Victory is not found by knowing the evil of the world. Victory is found by knowing the truth of the Word of God and what God says about you. Hallelujah. And so this is the enemy's tactic. So don't go hide in a hole. Keep moving forward in the plan and the purpose of God. Now, as we move back, let's go back here to Nehemiah. Did you know what they did? In verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Glory to God. You know what? If God does the work, the devil can't stop it. Amen. There's a value of completion. The wall was finished in 52 days. I came home today. I'd been busy. I was there with Barbara. She said, you want to help me make the bed? I said, yes. I heard a guy who is a great motivational speaker. He was in the military. He said, the first thing you need to do every day when you get up is make your bed. Then you'll have completed something. I thought, praise God, I make my bed most days, okay? Today I was a little late, but we did make that bed. Do something positive. Do you know 50% of the people who complete their classwork for a doctorate degree don't do the dissertation? Can you imagine that? Aaron went to school for 11 years to get his doctorate. And then it just takes you 6 months or so to write the dissertation. If you went to school for 11 years to get all the classwork done, to get your doctorate, do the dissertation. A lot of people just don't finish. Well, they finished a lot, but they just need to finish a little more, okay? So close, but don't finish. A lot of people start out to do something and don't finish. Keep doing what God told you to do. Do you know most pastors who build a church will never stay there to see the finish of the church building program? Most people, pastors who get a church and start out, and even less who build it, will stay to see it paid off. Glory to God, we are unique. Do you know, I had somebody tell me not very months ago, this church isn't successful. I looked at him and I said, I don't know who you've been listening to, but 90% of church plants fail in Colorado Springs. And this church financially is one of the most successful churches in this nation. Amen? And I don't care what you think about it. Hallelujah. I'm not here to please you any. I'm here to please Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. So finish. Keep doing what God called you to do. You know, of the people who start out to go on the ministry, only about 10%, like who go to Bible school, end up in the ministry. And then the ones that get in the ministry, most of them, 80% of them quit in the first 5 years. 90% of them quit before their retirement age. Right? Just a lot of people don't follow through. You know, a lot of people never get ahead because they don't keep doing one thing long enough to praise the Lord. Learn something. Learn it good. Do it well. Keep moving forward. Amen. Get some blessing working in there. Praise the Lord. I was listening to Jonathan Shuttlesworth. He was talking about how people many times are called to business. And somebody will call them and try to get them involved in ministry, and maybe they're not necessarily called to ministry. And he said they've already got a good and profitable business. And he said it could become a very prosperous business. But then they get distracted to go do something that God didn't call them to do. And they miss out on what God called them to do. They miss out on a lot of blessing. I want to do what God called me to do. Amen. There's a value in completing. Now, when they kept at it, when they finished, guess what? Their enemies were ashamed. I believe we can make our enemies ashamed. As we keep reading, let's keep reading down here. They were cast down in their own eyes, and they perceived that the work was wrought of God. If the work is of God, you can't stop it. I want to keep working with what God does. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. For there were many in Judah sworn to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah. His son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Barakah. So they were listening to him because of this place that he had in a family. And they reported his good deeds before me. So Tobiah fought him. Now he was trying to join him. Do you know what? You don't need some people who were fighting you now trying to join you. He said, they're up to no good. Okay, and they reported his good deeds and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put him in fear. Now, there was false influence. Tobiah was a family member who went bad. The devil doesn't care how he stops the work. He doesn't care who he uses. He uses whatever or whoever he can. But do you know what? We want to finish. We want to complete the work that God gave us to do. You know, Jesus said three beautiful words in John chapter 19, verse 30. He said, it is finished. There's a value in finishing. There's a value in completing something. I worked for Lester Sumrall when I went to Bible school there. My favorite message that I ever heard him preach was, I did not quit. And you know, I mean, he's up like 80 years old now, right? And he's preaching, I did not quit. And he's talking about all the times from the time he started out preaching when he was about 17 years old. How, you know what? He had opportunities to quit. And then when he was, you know, just 20 years old, he had opportunities to quit. When he was 50 years old, his denomination said, Lester, you are 50 and you are finished. Did you know his denomination kicked Lester Sumrall out and Gordon Lindsay out on the same day? That is not a brilliant move. Amen? Crazy. Religion is crazy. But he talked about how I did not. Did you know his ministry never really exploded until he was about 60 years old? And when he was 60 years old, there was a lot of bad stuff going on, you know, in the church. Different things, and his ministry grew and exploded. There's good things happen if you just stay at it. Amen? So Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. My conclusion is simple. Do not quit, and you will win. Amen? You know all you got to do to win in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, is do not quit. Amen? Believe Jesus and do not quit. Hallelujah. So I'm going to stay at it. Amen? You know what? And if you keep making even little steps in the right direction over a long period of time, they'll get you to the right place. Amen? God is good. We love you. I hope you enjoyed the evening. Let's all stand up, and I'm going to pray for you. Thanks so much for coming. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening for Jesus. I thank you for this great congregation. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. We thank you that Jesus finished the work, that Jesus completed the deal. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he already paid for our forgiveness. He already paid for our peace. He already paid for our healing. He already paid for our provision. And Jesus, we thank you that you've already done the work. And we thank you that by faith we can enter in to what your grace has provided and receive what you've promised us. We thank you for those purposes, those plans, those things that you've had for us from the foundation of the world. And we thank you that we move forward into them by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, if you come up here, we'll either pray for you or appoint someone to pray for you. Thanks so much for coming. We love you and appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.